Good evening, everyone. This is Hutton Orbital Live, and I'm your host for this evening, Harry Balzac. Playing safe this evening, I'm wearing a mask. Not for my health, but because no one wants to see my face, and especially not at this time of night.
I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I'm wearing a fur-lined domino. I think it's a double six.
I'm Mia Hartness, and I'm wearing a mask made from someone's old sporran. I can't get infected because I'm scared to breathe in.
I'm Juan Kerr. I'm exempt from wearing a mask because of my luxuriant moustache. But they do make me sit near an open window, or airlock, as they've now told me it's to be called.
I'm Norma Snuckers, and I forgot my mask. So I'm having to use this one that someone left behind. This PVC smells a bit and makes my ears itch. I can't read the script. And what am I supposed to do with this black sphere on a bit of elastic?
That, my dear Norma, is not quite a masked ball, or a bald mask. And now that we're safe from whatever Greek letter the galaxy can throw at us, it's on with the news. The long arm of the law means it doesn't last very long.
A prickly scare means a poor pull.
Weird, beard, sheared.
Size is important, and we've got some good news.
Bruce, let's all hang out.
Fly-tipping carto data epidemic endemic.
Community events news. Less a sprint, more a marathon.
It was always said, if you want to know the time, ask a policeman. Well, thanks to some shenanigans courtesy of a couple of inventive pilots, that can now be rewritten as, if you want to save some time, attack a policeman. You know that if you're a naughty pilot and you get destroyed by a good guy, you may end up at a penal establishment and be forced to buy your ship for the insurance cost? Well, what if that establishment was actually closer to where you wanted to go? A lot closer. And if the transport was done in the blink of an eye, what would that mean? What it meant in the case of LCU No Fool Like One, who managed to get blown up on a pad at the newly commissioned and therefore still mostly lovely and shiny Hotel Colonia, and reappeared on a prison ship a few thousand light years closer to home. But an evil glint once more came into his good eye. You know, the one that's not filled with processed Thargoid residue. And in his throat rose the kind of chuckle that is usually accompanied by dramatic music, a strange camera angle, and a static pose staring maniacally into the middle distance. LCU realised that here was a way of travelling vast distances almost instantly, and that for a payment of 5% of his ship's value, he'd get a brand new one, with that lovely new cockpit smell, zero parsecs on the clock, and he wouldn't even have to take the old sweet wrappers out of the ashtray. With the aid of his partner in crime, J.J. Goldberg, they concocted a route that could get them across the galaxy to and from Sol in a fraction of the time of that using conventional means, incorporating prisons and some of the new ships from the Colonia Bridge Project, and easily broke the one-hour door-to-door previously held record, thus paving the way for McThargoid's new pizza delivery service to fulfil the if-it-takes-longer-than-an-hour-it's-free promise that has made it so famous and which resulted in a boycott of deliveries of pizza to Hutton. Colonia to Sol, dock to dock, 58 minutes, 15 seconds. Subsequently, they've realised that with a couple of strategically placed extra fleet carriers, they can shave even more time off of the run to reduce supercruise time. With this route, available to buy at all good evil genius lairs, knock twice and ask for Paolo's Plutonian paths, you can get across the galaxy in a sidewinder in under an hour for free, or transport your favourite ship, Trigger's Broom style, to arrive before the big hand gets back to where it started, with your ship in perfect condition, the ice in your mega gin and tonic still cold, and all for a tiny proportion of the cost and time of a traditional ship transfer. All it takes is planning and the willingness to be just a little bit bad. The galaxy has never felt smaller. The Underhand Railway is open for business and is looking for volunteers to create trouble in areas of the galaxy where a prison facility isn't currently available so that they can open new routes. For those of you who want to know just how all this works and maybe have a go yourselves, then a much more detailed and incisive and probably true explanation will be forthcoming in the Gownet News Digest later in the show. So stay tuned.
Our gracious leader, Alvin Dafir, keeper of the sacred scrolls, licker of the sweaty parts, the beneficent tyrant to his faithful slave Snoz, has come a bit of a cropper this week. After a flying visit from a visiting senator, Alvin managed to cut his paw on a particularly sharp tweet left lying around by the careless speechwriter, and has refused to use it again until sufficient advanced meds, which we believe are, for some reason, applied orally and taste of sausage, have been applied. Indeed, such is Alvin's unwillingness to risk his recovery, he is insisting that Snoz obtains a small chariot decorated with suitable amounts of what we understand is known as bling, and pull him around so that he can still oversee at all of his official functions, even those that require the use of a small plastic bag afterwards. Alvin has dictated a note of sympathy for Hotbox and Hot Piss pilots, saying that he now understands just how frustrating it is not to be able to walk around surface installations. And how do they cope with not being able to smell other pilots' bottoms? Alvin has temporarily taken to wearing a ruff-like neck appendage from the fashion house of Sartorial Hound at Mason Eduardo, which is known as a cone of shame. Not because he's forced to, you understand, but because he likes the look. He's a dedicated leader of fashion, and he didn't want to chew at the sore paw anyway.
Fashion-conscious commanders and those that like to be one step ahead of their enemies were up in arms today when the Pilots Federation announced the withdrawal of the pilot scheme to project the heads-up display as a heads-down display by creating a hollow beard. A spokesperson, who later went on to resign for no reason, said, "We are sorry that we have had to take away the ability to see your hood on your beard, but we were receiving complaints that unbearded pilots were being unfairly excluded, unless they wore the scratchy ones that hooked over the ears, and in any case, you could only see the display by looking in a mirror, which reversed the output and made movement tricky, and the display was a bit useless once you'd put your helmet on, as you were in danger of damaging your neck, having to look down at your chin." Rumours of similar projection projects to add displays to other body parts have been denied. But we'd like to see the back of the head used to display movies so that the gunner in a Scorpion has something to look at during long journeys. But projecting anything onto the front of the torso is likely to invoke a slap emote if you stare for too long.
Tell me, are you fed up with inadequate space in your SRV's cargo area? Do ship owners laugh at your paltry capacity? At the size of your booty? Would you like to have as much as a Class 2 cargo rack? Then surface truckers rejoice, your day is at hand. Thanks to the generosity of the Pilots Federation's research department, they found a way of squeezing 2 more tons of cargo into your scarab. Fancy Pants owners of the new Scorpion may have a big something compensator on the roof, but they've not got your capacity down below. The original message did say that you'd need to sell your existing scarab in part exchange for one with the increased capacity, but after some scratching of heads, checking for the space at the back of the sofa, they realised that by moving the seat a little way to the left, putting in a smaller radio, and getting you to lean forward, they can actually fit the new cargo rack into the existing SRV. And their teams of engineers have been busily retrofitting this enhancement to all scarabs, whether or not the driver can use their legs outside the cabin. What with this and the new limpet controllers being available to all, including pilots who fly using their thumbs, the Apology Officer's ship, the Massive Huff, has had to be renamed a bit ticked off.
Our suspicions were aroused by the illustration for the last story, and we've had confirmation that the current holder of the honorary commander name of the Accredited Astronaut, who sometimes goes by the name of Bruce, or I'm behind you with my SRV, oops, sorry, has been on the surface of planets and doesn't appear to be wearing a spacesuit. There are multiple possible explanations for this. The entirety of everyone's planet landings have been faked, and this is just a picture of him on set before the cameras are rolling. He could be trying out a new Gossamer Finn perfectly transparent spacesuit that will allow people to see what you bought with all of those arcs and without having to wait until you get inside the station. Or, and this is the one that we like the best, this is a screenshot from a new update which will mean landing on planets with breathable atmospheres. Though we think that this is the least likely option, unfortunately.
All in all, we've had a pretty good week, with all systems reporting seasonal happiness of one sort or another, and with the usual suspects reassuringly forming the rearguard. Our listener will no doubt be comforted that Barnard Star once again returned to its position of destiny in the relegation zone of the Hutton table on 36, despite spending a whole 3 days, nay, 4 days, enjoying Alvin's pleasure in the 40s. It slid inexorably once more, predictably and precipitously, into the 30 zone of shame. On a brighter note, the Hutton systems that were on 40% last week, AVIC, ROS 671 and Epsilon Indy, have all returned to that most comfortable of positions, the mid-40s. The pirate attacks mentioned last week were beaten off, more or less, by the end of last week's show, leaving little for the pirate thwackers amongst you to knock out. Remember 3 weeks ago and that dump of a system, LP410-93, that we left in Operation Backpedal? Well, we've expanded again into it 2 days ago. Guess where? Yep, you're way ahead of me. Operation Jump into a Dump has struck twice and we're back there again. So let's consider the last retreat a practice for the main event, shall we? And folks, stop doing good stuff, data, missions, killing pirates, etc., where we don't need it, and do good stuff where we do, i.e. in Barnard Star. It has large pads, a jacuzzi, everything. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems League, we have 6 systems above 60%, including 2 at 80. So please stop dumping data into systems that are above 60%. We just end up with unexpected expansion that somebody has to retreat from. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard Star and reduce influence in LP532-81. If you want to shoot something, how about tequila?
There's nothing to do in the late dangerous. But no one with any sense. We've got news of a load of community-led events this week, more than ever. Drop yourselves in, as this news segment's almost as long as the trip to the station in 36 off Uchi, but far more interesting. If you're interested in any of these events, either to watch or to participate, then as usual, links for the information will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. So on now with what I'm calling Normous Knockers Community Hour. Comfy Cannon Cruise has apparently got over its fetish for mollusks and they have been visiting somewhere that we know quite well. I'll let Commander Mephisto tell you what happened.
After waypoint 106 of the Comfy Cannon Cruise, Expedition's fleet carrier orbited Hutton Moon over the last weekend. Commander Illyrium generously refilled Khonsu with tritium again, which got him the honorary title Lord Illyrium, Bringer of Tritium, Fueler of Khonsu. and a hand-drawn digital medal. The passengers, Commander Stobie 1, David HMB, and Belagar, met up with Captain Commander Levelfisto at the bar of Fort Mug for a few drinks and some shenanigans. On Monday, Khonsu set sail again. A bit too soon for some passengers, those that were left behind. Commander Nutsack Whack and Stobie 1 took the opportunity to catch fleet carrier rides back to the bubble. But Commander G-Man 14 made the more than 5,000 light years back to Khonsu, discovering a few Earth-like worlds along the way. At Waypoint 107, PO3 type anomalies lured explorers by shining prettily, but they do corrode a ship's hull very fast. Waypoint 108 was the first to feature the awesome-looking Chrysium Void Hearts that enclose a mysterious light source in humongous brambles which grow from octahedral pods. This meant that the rubium crystals could be examined also. Waypoint 109, only a few light years away, was reached today. The Nivium octahedral pods await explorers' codices. There are three more waypoints up next, near to each other, before the cruise moves a few thousand light years towards the bubble along its route.
The Wild Wild West expedition is heading home, but not for them the simple straight line as the crow flies if it could fly in a vacuum route. Oh no. Commander Airman Dan tells us what they've been up to and what's happening this week. The Wild Wild West is homeward bound now and taking advantage of the opportunity to once again push the limits of exploration, climbing to the tippy top of the galaxy and then plunging far beneath it in a week of superlatives. Crews on all platforms enjoyed canyon racing with picturesque views, and a latecomer to the party joined the expedition at its 15th waypoint, flying over 20,000 light years in a Vulture with a range of only 30.5, only to get stuck a mere 100 light years from the carrier fleet as the stars thinned out. Commander Airman Dan engaged in a daring rescue operation, manually plotting a string of neutrons to bring the intrepid explorer the last few steps home and safely united Commander Jeff Ducati with the Wild West fleet. Next week, the expedition will make its penultimate stop at a region filled with mysterious garden ruins, notable stellar phenomena, a gorgeous nebula, and the expedition crescendos to its final destination at V1357 Cygni, just in time for Christmas. It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but their time is nearly here. Expedition All the Clouds in the Sky has been going so well that they had time to redecorate. But the curse of Thursday has struck, as Commander DeLuvin explains.
Expedition Day 86. After course corrections and a small change of plans, Zodiac is just a few jumps away from CSI plus 50-22218, also known as IC-5217 Nebula. The small change I am talking about is just the fact that I decided not to take Zodiac to Star 1 on this loop. We'll go there once we finalise most of the nebulae populating the bubble area, and that means below and above the Orion line. Oh, and for those who've seen Zodiac before and try to find it now somewhere in space, the task might prove itself to be a bit more difficult. You may remember that Zodiac used to be painted in tactical white after another, I think, already the third Black Friday disappointment and essentially no midnight black paint job for the carriers. The crew took a large number of buckets of graphite paint and repainted the carrier so it looks kind of black. I have some bad news to report. I had a hardware failure just as the Pilots Federation started working on my system, and it appears that one of my data storage units is dead. The one that had all of my photos and my access to the galaxy. Of course, I'll try to fix it to make sure that I can join you tonight, but I have huge concerns about all the applications that were residing on that drive. You'll hear from me either way. Whenever we can, we'll move towards the next waypoint, as announced. There just might be a small delay there. Bear with me, Commanders. 07.
In submitting this report, Commander de Leuven has announced that the hardware equivalent of turning it off and turning it on again has coaxed the data storage unit into life, and that a long overdue backup is underway. Good luck, Commander. The Magellan's experience is well underway on their expedition with the eventual destination of Magellan Star, and a proud Commander Richard Fluranis M has sent us a brief note.
Not a great deal to report this week. We had a fun time at a meetup which was hosted by the Stellar Nebula Project, with lots of crazy experiments on foot and in SRVs. On Friday, we're organising a circumnavigation of a little planet we know, trying to keep at about 250 to 300 metres a second, as we're trying not to provoke any rebuys out here. Apart from that, it's been quiet, keeping our heads down and getting on with basic surveying. More to come next week.
The latest 5-hour tour, the Southern Nebula Journey, has settled into a nice rhythm, and Commander Hunter has written to let us know that what they've been up to this week. The 5-hour tour is 3 weeks underway, and we're nearly on our way home with still plenty of nebulae to go. We're well on our way with over 8,000 jumps. We've jumped nearly 500,000 light years and scanned over 45,000 planets and stars. Another commander has fallen, sadly, putting the total of dead commanders at 3. We salute you, 07. See you next week. The fantastically frigid Trifid has opened the fridge door and set off into the cold black night, with Richard Fluriant M has this to say.
Bebop is moving to V970, stellar bow tie, with the Frost Seeker moving later this evening. After a stop there for some new neutron jump practice, Bebop will be on its way to Hillary Depot and Trio in a ring before coming to a rest in CD-3312935, which is NGC-5653. As the fleet carrier will be moving a lot today, I've got more in-flight entertainment lined up. Star Wars this weekend, might be something else next weekend. Got a suggestion? PM me. I've a couple more notes. I'll be moving the Bebop from NGC 6563 to Labry Into slowly over the week. Hop on if you want to lift. You're more than welcome to continue the expedition during the week, and I invite you all to join us for shenanigans at any of the waypoints during the weekends. Keep in touch with the fantastically frigid trip to Trifid for any spontaneous events. Thank you all for joining, and see you in the black.
The Nexus Exploration, the exobiology-focused long-range expedition, has set off into the unknown. Commander Notlick says,
the Nexus Exploration had a fantastic first 4 or 5 days, jumping about 5,000 light years through the waypoints. There have been new discoveries, even some undiscovered Earth-like worlds. Omega Megalith is very pleased with the turnout, and there have been no management issues yet, but the trip is still young.
And Commander Omega Megalith added,
our first week so far has been exciting and motivating. Only 5,000 light years out of the bubble, and our commanders are finding undiscovered systems and unmapped planet formations. We're looking forward to the day we get fleet carrier interiors to really feel like we are in the commanding seat of our beloved fleet carriers. The trip is still new and fresh. Anyone is welcome to join us, and if you're already out in the deep, feel free to hop on to our next Nexus fleet carrier. I want to say that it isn't myself or the founders that make this worthwhile, but the commanders who have and will join us that gives us the reason to explore. Join the cause and join Nexus.
The Boffins at Canon Research would like to remind everyone that their speed scanning challenge ends in a few weeks, at the end of the year. LCU No Fool Like One has paused in pointing his probinator to give us this update. It's the final month to enter the Canon Speed Scanning Challenge, which ends on New Year's Eve. The winner gets a rather special Canon coin, and the top three also get Canon Thargoid sample flasks. All you have to do is scan 9 different lifeforms on Tukane Sector AF-A D714E faster than anyone else and sell the data. You will need to record a video of the whole process, which can take as little as 20 minutes if you want to win a prize, or considerably longer if you don't mind losing. You have a really good chance of winning something, so go to canon.science and put organic in the search, and you can find all the related posts pertaining to the competition. The Pilots Federation have noted that at present the biological scanners appear to be offline, but have promised that the Dysonator will be back sucking up bacteria like a pilot at a McDargoid's McStiffy in no time. If you're looking for an elite-related New Year resolution and you think you ought to get out more, then you could do a lot worse than look at the expedition New Year, New Discoveries 3308, and you've still got a few weeks to sign up. And Commanders Arborek and Luna Sitara are looking for recruits.
Greetings from Alchemy Den. We're getting together for our fourth yearly expedition, New Year, New Discoveries, starting January 2nd. This carrier-based expedition is going to have all the works. Stormcloud, Fight Night, huge mass jumps, deep black mining, and so much more. It's free for everyone to join, so come say hi.
With a second new expedition to tell you about, the fourth such expedition that focuses on getting up close and personal with celestial discoveries that were made in the days before space travel. It's going to set off on January 8th, 3308, and return March 5th, 3308. And if you're interested in seeing sites that 21st century authors and astronomers could only dream about, head to their website. The organiser, Commander Kazika, is looking forward to welcoming you on board. And lastly, it seems that Commander Venetia has earned an evening off from caring for us still very new Julia pilots, as he's organised an event, Holiday CQC Saturday, starting at 21 UTC on Saturday, December 18th. If you've ever wanted to have a go at CQC but can never find anyone to team up with, then here's your chance. Turn up, shout, "For the mug!" in the lobby, and have some fun with no consequences, just like you thought you could when you were younger. Although Commander Venetia is a hotboxer, pilots of all persuasions are welcome, and feel free to just create ad hoc teams. That's what you're there for. Commander Venetia says,
"Come out and show Santa your naughty side in some CQC. This is a great way for new pilots to get practice without rebuys. If you have never joined us for these shenanigans, you are missing out. There will be laughs, explosions, crashes, and plenty of jokes to go around. The fabled stick song may even make an appearance. Who knows?"
Thanks to everyone who contributed to that massive list of events. Remember, just email itookpart@huttonorbital.com to get yours included.